to the Lord and Savior Jesus. Great to see all of you today. We pray God's blessings in our time together. We're about halfway through our Lenten journey to the cross and empty tomb. Once again, we see Jesus doing battle with Satan, doing battle with the minions and demons of Satan, and doing battle for us. We pray that God would bless us as we hear that word and receive his gifts today. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, we heard in the prelude, number 605, Father Welcomes. Pay attention to the last verse of that hymn, that'll connect us to the sermon for today. Following that opening hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 1. It's on page 151 and following. During this season of Lent, we refrain from singing our hymn of praise. We'll sing that anew on Easter, and so we'll go immediately from the Kyrie to the Salutation and Collect. There are a couple of other spots where we'll do the Lenten verses as well. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. We are vicarless this morning. Vicar is leading the worship and preaching at our sister congregation in Hicklin, and we pray God's blessings upon his proclamation of the word there. Before we sing our opening hymn, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for delivering us from sin, death, and the devil. Help us to be on our guard and to see that the devil is still at work, trying to trick and deceive us, trying to tear us out of Christ's nail-scarred hands and into Satan's kingdom. Preserve us from apathy and ignorance that would keep us from being on our guard. And Heavenly Father, keep us steadfast in your word, that our hearts and our homes would be full of Christ, full of the Spirit, full of your gifts, so that there would be no room for Satan to enter in. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Hymn 605.
Father, welcome, God is here. worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of the introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
the peace from above and for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith, to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament lesson for the third Sunday in Lent comes from Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth. And there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies." This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn to the words of the gradual. We speak them together.
Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the enemy be judged before me. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence.
The epistle lesson comes from the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Church of God in Ephesus. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Lenten verse, page 157. St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of our Lord. May be seated for our sermon hymn number 659. 659.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago from Luke chapter 11, especially the last sentence. Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this last week has been a week of vacation. Lincoln Public Schools was on break. Parents were scrambling for daycare. We were not even able to have our midweek confirmation classes because there weren't enough kids here to actually have class. Kind of how it works in the world, isn't it? Don't we live from vacation to vacation? The kids sure do. They can tell you very, very clearly and precisely when the next day off is, when vacation is, and certainly when summer vacation starts and when it's over. But it's not just kids. Adults work the same way. I know people, in fact, I'm married to one, who, while we are on vacation, is already thinking about, dreaming of, and planning for the next vacation. And let's be honest. During our working years, don't we look forward to retirement because we hope it will be like one non-stop, never-ending vacation? That's how we live. It's good to take some time away. It's good to relax. Sometimes our obsession with vacation is really a misunderstanding or a sinful understanding of vocation and God's gift of work. But that's a topic for another sermon and another day. Today, as we are in God's Word and Luke chapter 11, we want to talk about taking a vacation from God's Word. And how dangerous that is for any Christian. We see here God at work. For three Sundays in a row, we have seen Jesus doing battle with Satan. On our first Sunday in Lent, Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. Last Sunday, Jesus does battle with a demon-possessed daughter of the Canaanite Syrophoenician woman. And here we see Jesus doing battle with a demon-possessed man. The demon that is keeping the man from speaking, making the good confession. We also know from God's Word that this man was also deaf and blind. This demon had complete possession of the man. And what does Jesus do? Well, Jesus, with His finger, like a little finger flick, shows what He can do to Satan and his demons and all the minions of God. With a little flick of the finger of God, which is the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God, He casts out the demon and He restores this man fully to health, to sight, to hearing, and to speech. This is what Jesus does. He fights and He wins. This is what Lent is all about, right? We walk with Jesus. The journey, the Lenten journey, the Passion journey of Jesus all the way, carrying the weight of the world, carrying the sins of the world, your sins and mine, carrying them on Himself and into Himself all the way to His bloody, brutal death on Calvary's cross. Jesus hangs suspended between heaven and earth as our substitute. Jesus dies the death we deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus rises victorious over sin, death, and the grave. Jesus wins the victory. You hear that? Jesus wins the victory. And now here's the crazy part. The victory has been won. But the battle still goes on. How does that make any sense? If Jesus has really won the victory over sin, death, and the grave, if He has really conquered Satan once and for all, crushing the serpent's head by His Good Friday death and His Easter resurrection, what in the world are we fighting now? My friends, we as the people of God are in mortal combat. Yes, more than a video game, because Satan and all of his minions, all of his demons, are waging war. Not against Christ, they're already defeated. But they are waging war for your soul. The battle continues, even though the victory has been won. It is a battle, a daily battle for your soul. My friends, sometimes it is helpful to think of things in terms that are very simple to comprehend. I know it's helpful for me. In our catechism, when we hear and recite the second article of the Creed, we are reminded of Christ's victory for us. Christ shed His holy, precious blood, His innocent suffering and death. He won the victory, not with gold or silver, but He bled and died for you and for me. He has risen victorious over the grave, never to die again. That victory is won. In the third article of the Creed, we see how difficult, literally impossible it is for us on our own to believe it. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the Gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, and keeps me in the one true faith. Calls, gathers, enlightens, and keeps. This is where the battle rages. It rages every day, and it rages against and for your soul. That's what's going on in our text here. Jesus displays His power and His might. The kingdom of God has come. With a finger flick, He casts out demons. And so what happens when Jesus is at work? The naysayers start to talk. Well, He's in league with Satan. It's by Satan, Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies, that He casts out demons. That's the most silly, illogical argument that is ever made against Christ. But you know what? It's still being made today. And people fall for it. Why? Because lies sound good to our ears. If we put Jesus in league with Satan, or let's face it, any other run-of-the-mill God, like Allah or Buddha or Confucius, they're all the same. Then the work of Jesus is diminished, and the work of Satan is either put on par or thrown out the window. It's an old movie, a classic favorite of many men, The Usual Suspects. Kaiser Sose. And there's a line in that movie where he says, the devil's greatest victory is convincing people that he doesn't exist. My friends, what do you think of when somebody talks about the work of the devil, the work of Satan today, in our modern culture, with your modern ears? You can be honest. Most of the time we think it's ridiculous. Most of the time we say, oh, that's just some religious nutcase or fundamentalist. We're too sophisticated to believe that there's really a devil. In fact, we dress our little children up on Halloween like little devils. That's what we think of it. It's a joke. And when we treat the work and the existence of the devil as a joke, we set ourselves up for a big fall. God's Word is clear. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We are in mortal combat, and this battle rages every day. That's from Ephesians 6, the very next chapter after our epistle lesson today. And we know those famous words in 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. My friends, God's Word is clear. Satan is real. And while he is defeated, and while he is limited in his scope, he is very, very active. And the crosshairs are set on you. So, what are we to do? Our text for today is very clear. Jesus explains that certainly he is not in league with Satan. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Many great leaders, including our great presidents, have quoted that verse, trying to teach us even bigger and broader principles. And yet, Satan, as the father of lies, seems to be divided against himself all the time. His lies contradict themselves all the time. His lies don't make any sense. But guess what? It doesn't matter. Even though Satan can tell thousands of lies about God, about you, about the world, about virtue, about morality, about anything and everything, it doesn't matter. All it takes is for him to get you to believe one of them. And then you begin to doubt the Word of God. Then you begin to doubt the certainty of your own salvation. Then you begin to doubt God's love and care for you. My friends, Satan never takes a day off. Satan never goes on spring break. Oh, he may go with you on spring break, but he doesn't take a break. He looks for every opportunity, every time we let our guard down. When we take a break from God or His Word, there Satan is, ready to attack us at our weakest spot, at that opportune moment for him. Jesus explains it to us this way. When a strong man has possession, when a strong man, verse 21, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. This is Satan at work in all those unbelievers, all those who are apart from Christ. He has them. He's a strong man. He's safe. He doesn't need to do any more. Verse 22, but when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides the spoil. Jesus is the stronger man. Jesus is the one who by his life, death and resurrection has defeated the devil. We don't think of it this way with our modern ears and our modern eyes. But what happens in the waters of holy baptism, as Good Friday and Easter Sunday are delivered to you, there Satan is driven out. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? We speak these words and we mean them. This is God at work, His finger flicking Satan out of a tormented soul and giving us life and life to the full. But what happens as we live our life? We become complacent. We become lazy. We take things for granted, become very apathetic. When things are going well in our life, everything is neat and tidy. It couldn't be any better. Everything is going according to plan, according to Hoyle. We don't really need God then, do we? We've done a pretty good job of it ourselves. And when our lives are neat and tidy and our houses are empty, devoid of God's Word and God's gifts, guess who comes home? Satan comes back. But he doesn't come alone. He brings lots of buddies. He fills up that house with turmoil. He fills up that house with sin. He fills up that house with doubt. He fills up that house with unbelief. My friends, you know it's true. We've seen it in action. We all have. How many times haven't we seen people who have been lifelong active members of the church, who've been in church 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And then all of a sudden, something happens. A sickness, a death, a tragedy, a problem at work, in the neighborhood. Doesn't matter what, something happens. And because they had let their house become empty. Oh, maybe it was full of good works. Maybe it was full of good deeds. Maybe it was full of all kinds of things except Christ and His Word. And then all of a sudden, they've drifted away. Away from Christ. And in league with Satan. My friends, it's tragic when this happens. But the point of God's Word for us today is not to lament how tragic it is when these things happen to others. Christ is teaching us today to be on guard, to be alert. Now is the time to do our inventory. Now is the time for us to return to the waters of our baptism. We sang it in that hymn, in the water, in the Word, return. Die there in the waters. Repent. Repent and hear the good news. Repent along with all your sins and lusts and evil passions. When we empty ourselves of Christ and His Word, when we neglect the gift of returning to our baptism in repentance and faith, we're feasting on Christ's body and blood. Everything looks good. And everything sounds good. You heard it in the words of our epistle. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us. But sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place. Instead, let there be thanksgiving. My friends, we fill up our houses with this nonsense. Why? Because there's no Word of God and the gifts of God there. When we fill up our houses with the Word of God and the gifts of God, there's not room for any of this other stuff. Christ is calling us today to hear His Word, to believe His Word, and to daily return to the baptismal font. Luther teaches us in Baptism Part 4 in our small catechism. Don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? If we are therefore baptized into a death like His, we are also baptized into a resurrection like His. My friends, as we return to the baptismal font daily, we drown and die there. That old Adam that lives inside of us, along with all of our passions and lusts and evil desires, and we come forth a new person, a new creation, ready to serve God each and every day. My friends, enjoy your vacations. Look forward to your next day off. Rejoice in the gift of work and in the gift of respite from that work. But my friends, be careful. Don't take a vacation from Christ and His Word and His gifts. And remember Jesus' promise. This promise for you. Blessed rather are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. May this be our rallying cry today and always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our ears, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, let us boldly now confess this gift of faith which He gives us. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand as you're able.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of dead and the life of the world
to come. Amen. To the prayer requests as listed in your news and notes, we remember Good Shepherd member Raleigh Victor, who has been hospitalized following a fall. We also remember all those who mourn, especially the family of Leonard Stelick, father of Brent Stelick, who was taken to his heavenly home on Friday. The family of Chip, grandson-in-law of Marianne Presholt, who was taken to his heavenly home this past week. And the family of Bonnie Zager, a friend of Laverne and LaVon Myers, who attended here at times, who was taken to her heavenly home on Friday. We pray. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy God, we praise you this day as your word of grace and peace is proclaimed among us. Where your word is spoken, there you are among us to bind the strong man, to take forth his goods, to bring us out of the devil's kingdom and into your light and life. Keep your holy church ever steadfast in your word, that we are fed with living bread from heaven. Open our hearts, hands, and mouths to proclaim your love in all the vocations you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bestow on the entire Christian church your every blessing. Protect and defend all missionaries, blessing their work in your name, especially Dr. Allman in Germany. Prosper our mission efforts in this community according to your will, especially our radio station. And help us to teach your children your word through our school and preschool. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the prophets, bless the prophet's sons, our faithful pastors and shepherds in Christ, especially those who serve us here at Good Shepherd. We also pray for Pastor Harrison, our synodical president, Pastor Snow, our district president. Make all who serve your church as pastors fortified walls of bronze as they proclaim your salvation and distribute the gifts your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, gives to his holy church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Almighty God, your judgments are unsearchable, and your ways are past finding out. Grant mercy to all who suffer with physical or mental ailments, especially Raleigh. Grant them grace to discern your love in whatever suffering you send them. Support them in patient thankfulness under pain and anxiety. Move us with pity and tenderness for all who are afflicted. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant peace and comfort to all who mourn, especially the families of Leonard, Chip, and Bonnie. Give to them the confidence that you have conquered death through your death and resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, be gracious to your children who in reverence approach your holy altar. Let us partake of your Son's true body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the salvation of our souls. Strengthen our weak faith, kindle our cold hearts with love, comfort our troubled consciences, and freshen our hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We lay these petitions before your throne of grace, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with the Holy Spirit are one God, now and forevermore.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Ken Walker in the name of the stronger man.
Offertory, page 159. Right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of heaven and earth, heaven and earth, Lord,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace. Depart with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. O God, the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you peace. For our closing hymn, number 422. 422.
Welcome in the name of Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior from sin, death, and the devil. I encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd.